You're listening to an iHeart podcast.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. Well, you'll never believe it. She stalks her boyfriend, an up-and-coming lawyer, until she practically drives him crazy. Then she goes over the edge in a jealous rage when he has a date with Miss Ohio. So what does she do? Shoot him dead. Of course, I'm talking about Shayna Hubers, the Kentucky woman who shot her boyfriend in the face when he refused to cancel a date with a pageant queen. Well, she's back in the headlines. Just wait till you hear this. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. Thank you for being with us. That's right. Shayna Hubers, sentenced to life behind bars after a jury convicted her of murdering her on and off again boyfriend, the up and coming lawyer I told you about, Ryan Poston. Remember, they were officially dating other people when she shot him dead in a jealous rage. It sounds so much like Jodi Arias. Well, anyway, get this. Shayna Hubers is on the hunt for a new man. That's right. After shooting the boyfriend, just point blank, right in the face, and then commenting, "I finally gave him the nose job he always wanted. With a bullet, woman, with a bullet." Now, she's on the prowl for a new man. Men, beware. These are her words, not mine. Quote, "I have grown much since the 21-year-old girl I was in October 2012 at the time of my arrest." Notice she says my arrest, not when I murdered my boyfriend as he tried desperately to get away from me. Quote, "I'm looking for someone who won't judge me by my past, but by the woman I've become." Okay, she apparently posted this on Write a Prisoner to connect with pen pals outside of jail. Okay, men, you love lorn folks. Don't say I didn't warn you, because let me refresh your recollection on Miss Shayna Hubers and what happened.
Hill County 911.
Ma'am, I killed my boyfriend in self-defense.
Okay, where are you at?
I'm at 12 Meadow Lane, Highland Heights, Kentucky. 41076.
Okay, 12 Meadow Lane, are you in a house or an apartment there?
It's an apartment. It's apartment suite 10.
Is it Meadow, anything else, Meadow View or something?
No, 12 Meadow Lane, ma'am. I killed him in self-defense.
Okay. Tell me again what unit you're in. It's not showing in my computer.
It's 10.
Okay, you're 12 Meadow Lane, unit number 10. Okay, hold on. What did you kill him with?
A gun, a loaded gun in the house.
Can tell me where the gun is right now.
The gun is in the house.
Where at, though, ma'am? Tell me where it's at.
I laid it on the bookshelf.
Where at? Laying on a shelf?
On the bookshelf.
Where are you?
Okay, you know, I could hardly hold back there. I would just play just that 1 minute and 7 seconds over and over and over for the jury. And I'll tell you why. She's already setting up a defense. I shot my boyfriend in self-defense. Who says that? Who says that? When you're, quote, 10 feet from the dead body, not Ryan Poston, not my boyfriend, not my lover, not the light of my life. He is now suddenly, quote, the dead body. She knows the address. She knows the location. She knows the zip code. This lady, A, is setting up a defense, giving way too much information for the defense taste, and showing she had already disassociated from the boyfriend she shot dead, and She is by far from insane. If she's crazy, she's crazy like a fox. Again, thank you for being with us here at Fox Nation and Sirius XM 111. Let me introduce you an all-star panel. First of all, you know her well, Francie Hakes, former federal prosecutor, and get this, podcast Best Case, Worst Case. Dr. Angela Arnold, renowned psychiatrist, joining us from the Atlanta jurisdiction. Boy, do we need a shrink. Death investigator, professor of forensics, Jacksonville State University, author of Blood Beneath My Feet. But first, to Emmy Award-winning investigative reporter, Christy Mazurek, whose voice am I hearing?
Well, you're hearing the voice of Sheena Hubers, who sounds very distraught after opening fire on her boyfriend, Ryan.
Christy Mazurek, I know that you're the Emmy Award-winning investigative reporter, but let me enjoy the moment, the one time I've ever gotten to correct you. She wasn't upset until she got through her first script. Then I heard a little, that was about
it. You're correct.
Okay.
You're correct.
She's perfectly calm.
And her story changes.
Halfway through, then there was a little cry, a little peep, squeal of being distraught. Guys, how did the whole thing get started? You're hearing the 911 call, but let's back it up. Rewind. Listen to our friends at Crime Online.
Ryan Poston, a 28-year-old Ohio attorney, meets Shayna Hubers on Facebook. The 19-year-old was friends with Poston's step-cousin, Carissa Carlisle. The pair hit it off and begin dating. Hubers is studying psychology at the University of Kentucky in Lexington. She graduates cum laude, pursuing a master's degree in school counseling. They date for about 18 months, but the relationship is anything but smooth. The couple reportedly break up several times.
The whole breakup to make up. Jackie here in the studio was pointing out that she learned something or observed something in that 911 call. In the first couple of seconds, she says, a loaded gun. I shot him with a loaded gun. How does she know it's totally loaded? Loaded means all the bullets are in the cylinders, I think. How does she know unless she checked it or loaded it herself? But of course, I'm putting the cart before the horse. Let's take a listen to more about the relationship.
Unsatisfied in his relationship with Hubers, Poston tells a cousin that he plans for a first date with another woman, Miss Ohio, USA, Audrey Bolt. The pair connected on Facebook and had been corresponding for some time. Bolt says she found Poston smart and funny based on her Facebook interactions with him. They begin direct messaging, plans to meet at a Milford, Ohio bar for drinks and maybe to play pool.
So that's where the beauty queen comes into this scenario. Miss Ohio, USA, Audrey Bolt, who has advised that she wants it very clear she was not the dead victim's girlfriend. They were meeting up for a first date. Now, that's certainly coincidental, is it not, to you, Joseph Scott Morgan, professor of forensics? I know you're all about fingerprints and hair fibers and autopsy reports, but I still like the good old hunch, the deduction, the using the gray cells. You want to tell me it's a coinkydink that he's got his first date with Miss Ohio and then suddenly she shoots him dead?
Hell hath no fury.
You never get tired of saying that, do you, Joe Scott? You always pull it out of the mothballs whenever it gets.
I gotta tell you. Yeah. You're asking for trouble, man.
You're darn right, so don't make me mad and give me an answer.
Hey, look, it stands to reason that if you're involved with somebody else and you've had a volatile relationship, they're already traumatized over this thing you're saying you want to break it off. And then not only do you just go out and date somebody, you're going to go out and you're going to date a Miss America contestant. Yeah,
correction.
And you're talking about rubbing it in somebody's face.
Wasn't it Miss USA?
Oh, I'm sorry.
I know,
Miss USA.
Miss Ohio goes in.
Ohio.
That Miss Ohio goes into Miss USA as opposed to Miss. There's a very subtle but important distinction.
Yes.
Okay. And again, it's not a beauty pageant, it's a scholarship. It's a scholarship.
Okay,
exercise. Okay, Nancy, I agree. Didn't any of you people see Sandra Bullock in Miss Congeniality, for Pete's sake? Okay, back to you. Go ahead.
Most, you know, Nancy, you and I have worked together a long time. Most of the cases that we involve that are very, very violent, they're not some stranger just coming at you out of a dark alley, are they? Most of these things have come some kind of domestic connection many times, particularly those that are just loaded with a lot of violence, which in this particular case, it was. You have passion that's involved in this. You have a lot of anger. And boy, did she take it out on him.
This woman gives an all new meaning to snakes in her head.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Quote, I am a tall, thin brunette standing 5'9", 115 pounds with lots of long, wavy, golden brown hair, big steel blue doe eyes, and a wide, bright smile on a heart-shaped face. Okay, that's her, not me. Let me just take this in. I'm a tall, thin brunette, 5'9", 115 pounds. Number one, she needs to eat some more. With lots of long, wavy, golden brown hair, big, steel blue doe eyes, and a wide, bright smile on a heart-shaped face. Okay, as if that's not enough, this is what she says next. No one really knows or can explain what I've been through besides me. Me, 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 me. It's about who? Me. Shayna Hubers again. Forget the dead boyfriend and her family. Just, grief-stricken after their golden boy is shot dead. Well, Hubers is apparently holding out hope she will soon be a free woman, hitting out at false conviction theories and arguing her case was used to obtain TV ratings. My, she certainly thinks a lot of herself. What, like she's going to rate better than what, American Idol or... these people, what is going on in their head? Luckily, the state doesn't have to prove motive. Who wants to go inside her head and figure it all out? Do you think it's a coincidence, Francie Hayes, that he's trying to get ready to go out on this date and up comes Shayna Hubers?
Of course not. You know, Nancy, on America's Most Wanted, which we both covered, there was a case where the girlfriend who killed her boyfriend had cloned his phone so that she could intercept and even
slow down.
Messages.
Slow down, Missy. You got to say that very slowly. For, you know, I've just got a JD. I didn't get my master's at MIT. So explain to me and to everybody listening what it means to actually clone someone's phone. And let's just say, that takes a lot of gumption to go that far to clone a phone. I've told you this 100 times, Francie. I tried to read my husband's email one time, and it was so boring. My eyes were bleeding. It was terrible. Never again. I found out nothing. There was nothing to find out. So I haven't wasted my time doing that again. If you've got, tip, if you've got a clone your boyfriend or girlfriend's phone, you need to break up immediately and date somebody else or go into therapy.
100%. It's so
okay,
much easier
so
to break
tell
up.
Everybody listening, how do you clone a phone? This is great,
well,
Jackie, listen.
Well, it's super simple, Nancy. All you have to do is go to the internet and get instructions. There are programs out there that allow you, as long as you have access to the boyfriend or girlfriend's device. I don't want to give the programs away, but it's really easy to find with a quick 5-minute search on the internet where you can assign that phone to your own as if it is your own. You can initiate text messages. You can read the text messages that are coming and going from your significant other's phone. And we covered a case like that on America's Most Wanted. So it wouldn't shock me to know that Shayna had done the same thing or just gotten his phone in the million times she was in his apartment and wouldn't leave and he would go into a different room. I wouldn't be at all surprised if she was monitoring his social media, for example. How hard would it be to get his Facebook password and see that he's communicating with direct messages to Miss Ohio USA? So that would not surprise me to learn at all.
And as I say in my book, Don't Be a Victim, please beef up your passwords. because it was probably shooting a fish in a barrel for this woman who was dead set on spying on her boyfriend, Ryan Poston, up-and-coming lawyer. He probably used his DOB or his social or his address or some connection, concoction of the two to be maybe his bar ID number to create a password. And he probably used the same password on every device and on every social media site. But I guarantee you, again, let's use our noggins for a moment, that she was spying on him and had hacked into his accounts. This is why. She hadn't been to his home until the time of the shooting that day that we know of. So getting ready for a date that night. I don't think she went over there with any other intention, much like Jody Arias, literally driving across the desert to convince her boyfriend, Travis Alexander, not to go on a trip with another woman, but to take her instead. I think she went there with the intent to talk him out of going on his date, literally with the beauty queen. Okay, now you know the background. Take a listen to more of that very telling 911 call.
Okay, are you sure that he is dead?
Did you shoot him?
I don't know, 15, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, not even that long.
Like 10 or 15 minutes ago?
Yeah.
Okay, what's your name?
My name is Shayna Michelle Huber.
I'm sorry, what is it again? Tell me.
Shayna Michelle Huber.
Huber? So what's your name again? Shayna or Shayna?
Shayna, S-H-A-Y-N-A.
All right, Shayna, I'm just having a hard time hearing you.
Okay,
all right. Now, you're going to stay on the line with me, okay? Because this is what we're going to do. The officers are going to want me to stay on the line with you, so when they get there, they're going to want to know where that gun is, and we want you to get out safely too, okay?
Okay, are they going to arrest me?
I heard a little trill in her voice. Something like that, when she was trying to tune up with tears again. You know, Joe Scott Morgan, I know that you're a death investigator and you've been to literally thousands of homicide scenes, but have you ever seen The Wizard of Oz where they call in the coroner? Did you hear her say, he's completely dead? And
yeah.
He's most completely dead. Remember how the coroner reads off how the Wicked Witch, and I guess the East is dead.
Yeah.
Oh, and my point is, she's emphatic, but she's not distraught. Oh, he's dead. He's completely dead. I would not expect that of a girlfriend that had just shot someone she loves, even if it's in self-defense, even if it's an accident. You would expect emotion, not, oh, he's completely dead. Just the way she said that.
Yeah, and you know, when something like this happens, all of the senses are aroused. You know, it's, and you're acutely aware. She's standing there in this smoke, Nancy, that has, you know, she's inhalated this gun smoke. She's in there, and she may have heard sounds that he was making as she shot him, as he tumbled to the floor. The sound itself, the gunshots are still ringing in her ears. But yet, you know, the thing about it is, it's not like she experiences this every day. It's almost like she's prepared for it. And you don't hear the same level of distress in her voice that you would. You know, I've been on scenes and I've talked to people that have shot other individuals, and they sometimes they'll lapse into moments of what we refer to as kind of catatonia, where they're just blanked out and they're staring off into the distance because it's such a shocking event. If I was interviewing her, I'd have a lot of questions because she is not rattled to her core. She has very specific details about all of this, and it rises and falls.
And to you, Dr. Angela Arnold, I got a series of questions for you, but I know that people can, in fact, disassociate with what's happening and have a period of time that they really cannot remember. That's real. It does happen. But Dr. Angela Arnold, psychiatrist, joining us out of Atlanta, I want you to take a listen to more of this 911 call and tell me what you hear. Listen.
Okay, are they going to arrest me?
Ma'am, I don't know what they'll do. We're going to send them out. I'm going to stay online with you, okay?
I mean, I'm not a murderer, ma'am. I just killed him.
What happened exactly? What happened?
He beat me and turned me out of the house. He beat me and tried to carry me out of the house, and I came back in to get my things, and he was right in front of me, and he reached down and grabbed the gun, and I grabbed it out of his hand and told him to pull the trigger.
Okay. All right. Do you need an ambulance? Have you been injured?
I'm not injured, ma'am. I was thrown into the side of the couch.
Okay. And how old is he?
He's 29. He'll be 30. He would have been 30 on December the 30th.
All right. What's his name?
Ryan Carter Poston. He's an attorney in Cincinnati.
Okay. Have you had a history of domestic violence with him?
Yes.
Okay. And is this your gun?
No, this is his gun. He keeps loaded guns in the house.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Quote, I've been through a heartbreaking journey, but I haven't given up on meeting someone true, loyal, loving, respectful, non-judgmental, and devoted. Reality check, you did meet that person. His name was Ryan Poston, and you shot him dead. Cool. Now, while Shayna Huber's profile says she's straight and looking to connect with a man, she did marry a transgender woman, Unique Taylor. Unique, U-N-I-Q-U-E, Unique Taylor, in about a 20-second jailhouse ceremony back in 2018. Now, Unique Taylor was once Richard McBee, but more important, was a repeat felony offender. And the two, Shayna Hubers and Unique Taylor, split 7 months after the jailhouse wedding, citing, guess what, irreconcilable differences. Well, I can only imagine what those differences may have been. That said, how did we get here? How did Ryan Poston, an up-and-coming lawyer, handsome, seemingly scrubbed in sunshine, how did he end up on the wrong end of a barrel?
Points that I would hammer to the jury. He was beating me, but I came back in the house.
And also, she's not injured.
Not injured at all. I've looked at her book and photos. Not injured at all. But why would you go back into the home if your attacker is in the home? And
Nancy, don't you think the 911 operator did an amazing job?
Yes, I do.
The 911 operator was on it, wasn't she?
Oh, man, if you think she's on it, Dr. Angie.
She loaded guns in the house. And, I mean, everything was so clear about what she said. Oh, I landed on the couch. That's why I wasn't hurt when he was beating me, because I landed on the couch.
Well, she goes into that explanation. Listen.
So he slammed you into the couch, but you don't have any injuries?
I don't have any injuries. I was just very frightened. He's a lot bigger than me. He's 6'3", 200 pounds. I'm 5'8", 120. And he picked me up and was carrying me out of the house. And I said, let me get my things at least if we're going to break up. And he wouldn't let me get my things. And when I reached around to try to get my things, hear myself echoing in the background, ma'am.
It's just a phone system. A phone system has got a delay.
And he pushed me down from the door all the way to the couch. And when they come here, they'll see how far that is. He threw me across the room. And I was very startled. I was laying on the floor.
Okay.
And now we hear a motivation emerging. Did you hear the words break up? Let's go to our cut 6.
I'm sorry, you said you shot him a couple more times after that?
Yeah.
How many times did you shoot him total?
I don't know.
Okay, because he was twitching and you knew he was going to die, so you shot him again?
And that's to make sure he was dead, because he was twitching so bad and I watched him lay there and twitch.
So you shot him instead of calling 911?
So instead of calling 911, she continues to shoot him? Well, there's more. Listen.
And I just picked up the gun. And in the middle of him doing something with his arm or saying something crazy. Shot him. And I thought, oh my God, what have I done? You know? And he was laying with his face on the table, like twitching. And so I knew he was gonna die a very slow and painful death. I knew he was already dead, you know, within the next 20 seconds. So in the next 2 minutes, I knew he was gonna be dead. And he was in a lot of pain. He was twitching, he was moaning, but he was ultimately dead. And so I shot him enough times to kill him so that he wouldn't suffer.
Okay, Francie Hakes, former federal prosecutor, jump in.
Yeah, Nancy, I killed him so he wouldn't suffer. I killed him because I thought he was coming at me. I killed him because I was terrified of him. I killed him because he was twitching. I killed him because I didn't want him to suffer, but he was going to die a slow and painful death. And oh, by the way, I knew he only had about 20 seconds to go. She's all over the place. This is so inconsistent within about a minute and a half, Nancy, that a prosecutor is going to have a field day with this case. And I bet you, like me, would love to be in the courtroom giving closing arguments on this one.
Man, you're not kidding. Dr. Angela Arnold, listen to this.
At that point, which was a few more times, and I shot him twice, thought he was completely dead, and he was laying there still, twitching and making noises. And I shot him in the head. I probably should have left it there, but I knew he was going to die.
Mm-hmm.
Or have a very deformed face.
And you were concerned.
And I knew, oh no, he would have died. He was already dying. He was dying. But I just walked around the table and shot him where I knew he would die immediately. And fast. His obsession with guns killed him. You know, I'm so Democrat, I would have never touched a gun in my life until I dated him.
I mean, occasionally, oh God, in this line of business, I have been speechless, and that happened to be one. I've recovered, don't worry. Chrissy Mazurek, reporting on a case. Did you hear that?
Oh, I did.
That he would have a very deformed face because she shot him in the face. And so she shot him again. Then she goes into her political preferences. Weigh in, Christy.
We were aghast, everybody that was covering this story in Cincinnati when this was unfolding, because her big, not only political platform was discussed, but not to go into too many details, she also started berating the victim, saying, you just don't understand why I had to shoot him so many times because he was so vain and he just wouldn't die.
Isn't it true, Christy Mazurek, that at one point she said, I gave him the nose job he always wanted?
That is absolutely correct.
Okay, and with that, Dr. Angela Arnold, you're the psychiatrist. I'll let you weigh in on that.
Oh, my God, Nancy. Whew.
I know.
It's sort of breathtaking, isn't it?
I wouldn't also describe it like that.
I mean,
I say breathtaking, like when you look down at the Grand Canyon.
Taking my breath away. I mean, who thinks like this, right? I'm still back on the part where she kept shooting him. If she was so scared of him, like you said, just get out of there. If she's such a gun hater, then why did she keep shooting the guy?
Well, didn't you hear, quote, his obsession with guns killed him, not me?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Again, hello, psychopath. Nothing is her fault, okay?
Okay, you know, I've noticed something about you, Dr. Angie. You like to throw me on the term psychopath, but not everybody went to medical school. So could you explain what that is and why you're using the term with Shayna Hubers?
Psychopath is someone, first of all, it's like a heavier form of narcissistic personality disorder. They have no remorse for things. They don't.
You know,
feel
it's amazing
things.
That you explain one Latin term with another Latin term. Okay,
I'm sorry.
Speak English,
it's the way
lady.
My head works. Okay, She thinks about herself. She charms people. She lies. She manipulates. There's a complete lack of social rules, and she prioritizes her own self-interest.
Francie, once I hear sane, everything else is like blah, 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 because it's not a defense. Either you did or you did not know right from wrong at the time of the incident. That is the, quote, old McNaughton rule, which came from Great Britain. And we, Americans, brought that jurisprudence, that body of law from Great Britain when we came here. And that is still the test for insanity today. Now, there are some slight derivations, but generally, being a psychopath or being drunk or being high on drugs or being narcissistic, none of that rises to insanity as a defense under the law.
You're absolutely right, Nancy. In fact, you could be mentally ill and still be legally responsible. And here, even if she has in her retrials, even if she has medical experts get up and say she is insane or she was insane at the time of the crime, the prosecution has very strong arguments to combat that in her own words on the 911 call. As we've already discussed, all those inconsistencies, that's not because someone is insane. That's someone who's constantly changing her story, trying to find the one that'll work to get her walked out of the jail. And she never found it. And she never will find it.
Same thing with Jodi Arias. Do you remember how many defenses she threw out? First, I wasn't even there. Okay, yes, I was there, but it was self-defense. Oh, I left out the one about a man and a woman dressed as ninjas came in and killed him and let me live. The defenses changed and changed and changed. Guys, it's just nothing like giving the jury the 911 call in opening statement. If you haven't already had it admitted into evidence correctly pre-trial, then you have to give a different opening statement, then lay the foundation for the 911 call, and then play it pretty quickly for the jury, because you really want them to hear this. Listen.
I'm not your typical murderer. No, I'm not someone that you see on Saturday. He said, you're just a hillbilly from Kentucky. And I am. If the hillbilly came out of me, I took up. And if it matters now, the worst I've ever done my whole life. But I feel like part of me doesn't feel bad about it. That part of me does. You know what I mean? Like, and part of me is like, he hit me. He threw me.
I guess this is a new defense. Quote, I guess the hillbilly came out of me. Okay. She also says, part of me doesn't feel bad about it. Well, I just had to get to this part of her interrogation. Listen. I thought I wanted to hear it, but then suddenly I don't. She's actually vocalizing. She's singing harmony and melody, which again shows she's not insane. Chrissy Mazurek, help me. This is just hours after she guns down her boyfriend that broke up with her, that she tried to get back with, that didn't want her back, that she shot dead. Help me. Why is she singing Amazing Grace?
Well, because I think she's trying to pretend that she's crazy, because moments after that, she's mumbling to herself in that video. She says she can't believe she actually did it, and she's so good at acting. This tape went on for hours, Nancy. This wasn't a short interrogation, and investigators left her inside by herself because they were aghast watching what was going on from another room, and just let the recording continue.
Again, it reminds me of Jodi Arias. Remember her standing on her head and doing gymnastics and humming in the police interrogation room? Guys, you know, this is like drinking from the fire hydrant. And I think Francie Hakes and Joe Scott Morgan will agree with me. A interrogation type tape like this, again, few and far between. Now, brace yourself. So many red flags. Take a listen to our friend Tom McGee, WCPO.
In the 18 months Shayna Hubers and Ryan Poston were together, there was an incredible number of social media messages between them. Highland Heights Police Chief Bill Birkenauer gave jurors a staggering number on Monday.
Pretty much you can't count them. I would say it was between 50 and 100,000 messages.
So how many came from Shayna Hubers and how many did Ryan Poston answer? The chief says it depended on the situation.
If he was trying to break up or move on, she would send him 100 messages to his one response. Many times he would just turn his phone off.
When it came to Facebook, Chief Birkenauer testified that Hubers got into Poston's page, blocked people, and sent messages like this.
Ha ha, after you wrote on my pic, Ryan unliked it, BC, because he realized that I liked it from his computer while logged on as him. Ha ha ha.
Then there were times that Hubers used a friend's phone to send text messages, often using strong language.
You're just a horrible attorney. Ha. You lost a client and didn't contest. Wow. Not easy, just stupid. Goodbye.
Well, there's nothing to hurt a lawyer like attacking their maneuvers in court. But I think our Cut 14, this is reporter Mike Schell at Fox 19, was one of the most disturbing facts that we learned. Listen.
Day six of the retrial saw the prosecution put forth three women who had contact with Hubers while she was in the Campbell County Detention Center waiting for her first trial to begin.
Ms. Nivens, let's just get this out of the way right away. Are you a convicted felon?
Yes.
Holly Nivens says Hubers described what happened after she picked up Ryan Poston's gun from the dining room table at his Highland Heights condo.
She asked Ryan, she said, what would you do if I and pointed the gun at him?
What did she say Mr. Poston did?
Smirked at her.
And what did she do at that point?
Walked around the table and shot him.
Poston's stepsister left the courtroom in tears when she heard what Hubers allegedly said about her family.
She had said that Ryan's family had a bunch of money and that they could buy a new child.
Behind bars awaiting trial, Shayna Hubers, killer girlfriend, says his family's got money. They can buy a new child. Okay, Joe Scott Morgan, the psychological and psychiatric implications aside, isn't it true there was no evidence whatsoever of any physical fight between the two?
No, there wasn't. And let me tell you this, I can prove that her alibi, her story, whatever the hell you want to call it, is complete BS. Nancy, when you get into ballistics and firearms, one of the toughest shots to make is what's referred to as a headshot. If people at home will just think about the silhouettes, if they see folks at, say, gun ranges, if they've ever seen pictures of it, it's a silhouette. You've got a head, then you've got shoulders and a body. And in defensive training, what they do is they teach you to fire center mass. That means at the center of the body, okay, the biggest part of the body, to score what's referred to as a headshot, particularly with a handgun, is very, very difficult. It's a higher order kind of thing. So what that tells me, Miss, I'm afraid of handguns and I don't even like handguns. Nancy, from what I understand, she pumped six rounds into this guy. Okay, six. One, two, three, four, five, six, including the one where she says, well, I guess I gave him the nose job he always wanted. You know why she did? Because she shot him center mass in the face with a lead core projectile that probably destroyed his face at that moment in time. And then she continued to pump other rounds into him after she had scored a deadly headshot. This is not something like if you're falling backwards, oh my God, I'm falling backwards and I'm landing on the couch safely and I'm just trying to defend myself. BS. You walked up on him, you planned it, and you ambushed him. You shot this guy in the face, and then once he was down, you continued to pump rounds into his lifeless body.
Can I remind everybody that Shayna Hubers started dancing around the interrogation room, twirling in circles, snapping her fingers, and singing, quote, "I killed him, I killed him. I did it. Yes, I did it. I can't believe I did that." Wow. This woman had two criminal trials. The first verdict was thrown out after a juror revealed he was a convicted felon, and even he convicted her. The second criminal trial saw her same defense used again. She maintained she was acting in self-defense when she shot Poston in the face. As she was speaking to police, she stated, "He's very vain. One of our last conversations we had that was good was that he wants to get a nose job, and I shot him right here. I gave him his nose job he wanted. I broke it." Okay, this woman needs to stay behind bars. And if any of you men out there need to find a companion or a love interest, I would like to shoo you, warn you away from Shayna Hubers, okay? Let me advise you to take the Pat and Turner, pat the street and turn the corner, and go right down to your local church or synagogue and meet a nice lady. Not one that will shoot you in the face after she stalks you, okay? Just a word of advice. A nice lady you might meet in Sunday school or Hebrew class, something like that. Okay, if that doesn't work out, go wander around the produce section at the grocery store. If that doesn't work, go to the library. If that doesn't work, go to Lowe's or Home Depot. Please do not get hooked up with Shayna Huber. Now, I'm just a lawyer. I'm not a professional shrink. I'm not Dear Abby. But listen to me, men. Do not date Shayna Hubers, because I predict one day she will get out and she will come looking for you. And with that note, Nancy Grace signing off. Goodbye, friend.
You're listening to an iHeart podcast.